Good. Well, this morning, the thing that we are going to look at together, it's a bit of a foundation, really. It's a truth that we would love it if we could really get it. And we believe that God would love it if we could get it. That the Holy Spirit wants to show us this morning and ongoingly that we have a good Father, a really, really good Father who loves us and who's pleased with us. And I don't know if you've ever had it when someone goes to tell you a story or a joke and you've heard it before and you've got like a split second to make a decision. Are you going to say, yeah, I've heard that before. You've already told it to me. Or are you going to be very British if you're British and just kind of like go along with it and just be like, really funny. And because most of us are British, most of us do the latter. We're just like, we fake it, don't we? And I had a conversation with Mike this time last year, actually. We were just at the side of the stage getting ready to start the meeting. And as we're just hanging out, he just said, Ali, I'm a bit worried. And I said, why are you worried? And he said, well, I keep having conversations with people. And as I'm having the conversation, they stop me and they say, hey, Mike, we've already had this conversation. And I've got no memory of saying it. I'm a bit worried. I said, oh, you don't need to worry. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just tired. That's what happens when you're tired. You know, your brain loses things. And he's like, okay, maybe that's true. Anyway, the next day, we were hanging out at the side of the stage before the meeting starts. And he just said, Ali, can I say, I'm a bit worried. And I was like, yes. And then he proceeded to tell me exactly the same thing word for word. And at that point, I was worried too. And I said, you know, you do know that we've had this conversation before. But you know, when someone tells you something and you already know it, that's what it's like when I stand up in front of you and say, hey, by the way, you've got a good father who loves you. I bet for loads of us, the response is, yeah, we know it. Oh no, we're going to have to sit through a whole talk where she tells us something that we already know. You know, our youth leaders have told us and maybe our parents have told us. It's in the songs that we sing. He's a good, good father and he loves us. And we think that we know it. But the truth is, although we think we know it and although we like the idea of it, and we enjoy singing the songs about it, most of us aren't living in that truth. Most of us aren't living in the truth and enjoying the truth that our dad, our heavenly father, is a good father, a loving, kind, merciful, compassionate dad who looks on us with love and affection. He's our good father. We think we know it, but often we miss it. And you know, for me, this has probably been really one of the biggest adventures and truths that God has been guiding me into. It's not like my big story. You know how sometimes you have your big story, the thing that is like, oh my gosh, God did that for me and I understood it. It's not like that. It's been but the most incredible journey. Not the big story, but the most incredible journey of God showing me more and more how much he loves me. For loads of you, it might well be the big story. Maybe you've not had a great earthly father. I know for Mike, whose dad is no longer alive, but he had a hard relationship with his dad, really tricky. And when Mike became a Christian and then was filled with the Holy Spirit, that was one of the amazing, miraculous things that happened was that he got it. He began to get it in a way that he didn't know it. And then when the Holy Spirit filled him and showed him, he would just sit on his bed night after night going, wow, you're my dad. You're my dad and you love me. Oh my goodness, you're my dad. Oh my goodness, you love me. It was like a miraculous revelation. For me, like I said, not as dramatic. I've got a great dad, a brilliant earthly father who loves me, who loves God, who's kind and encouraging and affirming. Yeah, got a great dad. But he's quite a laid back kind of guy. He's not overly possessive or protective. Lovely, loving dad, but not overly protective. And so you know that thing of when you bring home someone that you're hoping might be a boyfriend? I was always secretly hoping that my dad might respond a little bit like this.
I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
That's kind of what I was hoping for, but instead my dad was much more, come on in, have a seat, how you doing? And I would find them sat on the sofa, usually with the guy telling my dad his life story and dad praying for them or something. And I was looking for this overprotective dad. And you know what? We have an enemy. Satan is the enemy of our souls, who loves to speak lies to us and to twist truth. And one of the main lies that he goes after, and one of the truths that he doesn't want us to get, is this whole thing about God being our good father. And for me, what that looked like is he twisted what was actually a great quality in my dad. He twisted that and he took it one step further. And he has lied to me over the years to say that Dad, my Heavenly Father, he doesn't really care. He's not that interested. He's not that interested in me. He kind of loves me in a general, I love all my kids kind of way, but not fiercely and passionately loving me. And as I said, that's been one of the most amazing journeys for me, is as God begins to show me just how much I am loved, just how much he chooses me and is kind to me in everything that he does. And for you, like I said, I have no idea what your experience of your own dad is like. You might have a great dad, a rubbish dad, an absent dad. Who knows what your dad was like, who your dad is like. But I know this, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and who is good and whose love is never going to give up on you. His love is never going to run out. And that truth needs to be not the punchline, not the end of the story that we've already heard before, but it needs to be the bottom line, the foundation that we live from. And if we want to know what it looks like to really get this, to really get the love of the Father, then we just need to look at Jesus. Jesus knew, he really knew, that he was loved by God. And he came to do, what we're going to look at is three things that he came to do. He came to show us the Father. He came to show us what it looks like to live in the love of the Father. And he came to invite us in to the love of the Father. So that first one, he came to show us the Father. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus came was to put a face to grace. What I mean by that is he came to say, this is what the kindness of God looks like. If you want to know what love is, look at me. If you want to know what the Father is like, look at me. It says in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And in John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. So he's saying, if you want to know, then look at me. And the reason why that was so important, the reason why we needed that, is because God knew that so often things get lost in translation, where one thing is said, but another thing is heard. I don't know if you've ever had that, where you've gone to text somebody and by accident, you know, the predictive text thing has caught you out. And so I actually went to text Mike once when he wasn't very well. And I went to write, so sorry, you're poorly. And what I wrote was, so sissy, you're porky. Which is weird. I realised I was doing that. But another friend went to text a friend who was going through a really hard time and was really struggling with loneliness. And my friend wanted to write, dear friend, you're lovely. And what she wrote and sent was, dead friend, you're lonely. Ouch. Sometimes we think we're saying one thing and another thing is heard. I know about this because I married a foreigner. I married an Australian. And so although they sound a bit like us, they actually, you know, they're very different to us. And they have certain other words, like a duvet is a doona. And there's another thing that they say differently. So when we have flip-flops, they don't call them flip-flops, they call them thongs. We have another, that means something else for us, doesn't it? And when we were first dating and he came over from Australia, and he was hanging out with my family. First time he was hanging out with my family. And it was a hot summer's day. And we're in the kitchen and a wasp flies in. And I'm not very good with wasps. So Joel, coming to my rescue, sees that my mum has some flip-flops on and says to the woman, that my mum just meeting, hey, Eve, chuck us your thong. Which I'm really pleased to say that she didn't, and we did work it out. Sometimes someone says something and we hear something else, and this is what happens with the Bible. That all over the Bible is this truth that God is good, that he is loving and kind, but we miss it. It gets lost in translation. We miss it. And so we're reading the words. We're reading about who he is. And but we're hearing something else. It's like when you go to see a film, you've got the images in front of you and the images tell you what's going on. But often what you're responding to is the soundtrack. And when we're reading our Bible, we're reading the words, and the words can be saying all kinds of wonderful things, but the soundtrack that we're hearing is like this menacing, you know, dun, 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 dun. You know, it's like, ah! And what we're hearing is he doesn't like me, he's not pleased with me, he doesn't love me, he's cross with me, I've fallen short again. We think that we're going to get to the end of his mercy, and Jesus came to say, look at me. Let me change the soundtrack. Let me show you what the Father is like. And so when you read your Bible, lay over everything that you read with the face and the voice of Jesus. Look at the way that he was with the woman who was caught in adultery. So full of shame in that moment. And look at his kindness. Look at the woman who was bleeding for years, all hope draining out of her, and in he steps. Look at the way that he was with blind Bartimaeus, who was just desperate for his healing, and the way that they interacted. Look at how he was with Zacchaeus, this sinful outcast, and how he draws him close. Look at the cross. As Mike so brilliantly unpacked for us last night, you look at that and then you see this is what God is like. This is who he is. This is how he speaks. This is his kindness and compassion. He came to put a face to grace, to show us what the Father is like and how the Father loves. And what I want to do is just take one passage in the Bible to kind of unpack this a little bit. I could have picked all kinds of verses, but I want to just look at one passage to show what we often do and what is actually going on. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 12. And the reason why I picked this one is actually because I caught myself having the bad soundtrack. And then the Holy Spirit nudged me and showed me what I was doing. And so I just want to use this. So it's Luke 12, and it's a passage about worry. Probably loads of you have heard it before, Jesus teaching on worry. We're going to start at verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those... Oh, no, we're not going to start there at all. We're going to start at verse 22. I'm making things up entirely. Right. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. I don't know if you've read that passage before, but I know for me, when I have read it, I read it loads of times, and what happens is I hear that menacing soundtrack. Because I do worry about what I'm going to eat. I do worry about what I'm going to wear. I worry about all kinds of things. And here's Jesus saying, don't worry. And so you hear that soundtrack going, well, you do worry. So therefore he's cross with you. Therefore, all kinds of things. And I was having that experience one day, reading that passage again. And I'm so thankful that I kept reading. Because the next verse on, in verse 32, Jesus says this. So do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus is saying there is a root fear that is beyond all other fears. There is something that we worry about that is right at the heart of all of our other worries. And that's this, that maybe he's not good. Maybe he's not a good father. And because we don't get that he's good, all kinds of other worries take over us. And yet in this one little verse, so often we miss the tenderness. Because of that menacing soundtrack, we miss that he's saying, hey, little flock, little ones, dear ones, it says in another passage. Dear ones, don't be afraid. You've got a father who has been pleased, he's not reluctant, but he's been pleased to give you, and Jesus says, he's been pleased to give you the kingdom. What's the kingdom? It's everything that's God's. So it's everything. And he's saying, he's been pleased. He's not holding back. He's not standoffish. He's not arms folded, like with his head to one side. Here we go again, Ali. He's pleased to give you the kingdom. And we miss the tenderness in the Bible. We miss the truth of his kindness. He's our good father. He knows our worries. He knows our needs. He knows what concerns us. And he's saying, do you know who I am? Do you know how much I love you and how much I'm for you? Jesus came to say, if you look at me, it's just like looking at my dad. So as you encounter God throughout the Bible, keep that image of Jesus and his kindness. Listen even to that little verse. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Don't miss the tenderness of God. So Jesus came to show us the Father, to put that face to grace. And the second thing is he came to show us then what it's like to live in the love of the Father. That's what Jesus, he knew that he was loved. He knew how good the Father was and how much the Father loved him. And we see this amazing life then of freedom, of security, of passion, of purpose. You know, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, before anything happened, we've got the baptism of Jesus, we read about in the Gospels. And when that happens, the Father declares over Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God the Father spoke over him what was already true. You know, this wasn't news to Jesus. This was not a shock. It was already true. But then Jesus goes on to show us, and now this is the kind of life that you live when you get it. This is what it looks like to be completely free and to not be constantly worrying about missing out on the love of God or messing up or having that love taken away. He lives free. And what would your life look like? What would freedom be to you if you really knew that he loved you and that that love was not going to be taken away from you? What would happen to our people pleasing? What would happen to the craving for likes on Instagram? What would happen to our risk taking? What would happen to guilt and fear and the feelings of never being good enough? What would happen to our quiet times, or a better word for them? You know, that instead of thinking, I ought to, that we would know, we would respond to the fact that we know that God, he enjoys our company. Maybe from that place we would start enjoying his company if we got how much he loved us. When we get this, it changes everything. When we understand, just like Jesus knew, how fully loved we are. So we look at Jesus, and not only do we see how loving God is, but we also look at Jesus and see what it looks like, the free life that comes from knowing that we are a loved son and daughter. And then the other thing that Jesus came to do, he came to show us the Father, to show us what it looks like to live in the love of the Father. And the other thing, he came to invite us into that love. So it's not just that we look and we go, oh, that's so nice, Jesus, you really got it. I can see that you got it. You knew that you were loved. How nice for you. You know, that doesn't actually do us any good if that's all it is. It would be like walking past on the high street of wherever you're from, and you're walking past your favorite restaurant, big glass window, and as you walk past, you can see that all of your favorite people are in one place, and they're sat down in your favorite restaurant all together. They're about to eat. It does you no good to be on the other side of that glass. But then what happens if the door opens and one of them comes running out and says, you're here. We've been waiting for you. We intended, you know, we knew you were going to be walking past this time. We have been waiting for you. This is for you. This is to celebrate you. Come on in. And that's what Jesus does, is he says, don't just look at what I have with the Father. Don't just look at all the security and don't look at all the freedom and just admire it from a distance. It's for you too. Because of the cross, you can have this too. You can know this love too. Because of Jesus, this becomes true for us. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. the love of God that has been lavished. I love that word, because it's not the love of God that has been portioned out and given a little bit to you and a little bit to you and don't eat it all at once. It's been lavished on us, over the top. Extravagant love that means that we're accepted and chosen, that he is wholeheartedly loving us, that he is relentlessly pursuing us, that he is committed to us, that he is caring of us, that his heart is kind, full of mercy. Too often we look at that love and we treat it like it's very, very limited data allowance. And we're thinking, I've got this many days, and how am I going to eke this out? And maybe I should just keep back a little bit of God's love, because I know I'm going to mess up and I'm going to need that. I don't want to use it all up today, because there'll come a day when I need it. He's lavished his love on you. The life-giving love of the Father. I love Psalm 23 when it says that you lay a feast before me. That feast that he lays in front of us, it's his goodness and it's his love for us to feast on and to enjoy. It's not going to run out. Jesus came to show us the Father, face to grace, change the soundtrack. He came to invite us into the love of the Father, a life of adventure and freedom and security. And he came to invite us in and say, you can come and feast on this love too. That's what he came to do. And yet we all struggle to believe it. Nearly every single one of us struggles at different times to really get that this is for us. It's for everyone else. It's like I say, we've got that enemy of our soul. We've got Satan, who loves to whisper lies to us and say, not for you, not this time, not now you've done that, not now you've thought that, not now you've lived that way, not for you anymore. And you know what often happens is we agree with Satan rather than agreeing with God. We go, gosh, that must be true. Yes, I think that's right. I think maybe I've come to the bottom of God's love now. But it's not true. He has unending love for us. And like I said, this has been one of the things that I've struggled with, and I've agreed with Satan often on, and I'm so loving, beginning to live more and more in this truth that his love isn't going anywhere. You know, some of us, it's what happens is that we think we're okay. We think us and God are okay, and that, you know, that we can receive his love until something happens. Maybe we mess up, or maybe we're at a situation where we suddenly think, I think you would sort this out for them, but I'm not sure you'll come through for me, and it trips us up again. But the good news is, it doesn't have to stay like this. So it doesn't just have to stay where we can go, okay, right, so Jesus came to do all these kind of things, but I continue to struggle. We don't have to stay in that place of not really getting it, where often what happens is we know it. Like I said at the beginning, we know his love, but we don't know it. We're not enjoying it. And we can know it, but not on our own. It's not something that we just grit our teeth and say, okay, from today, then I'm going to know that I'm loved. It's not on our own. It's by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 14 and 15 says that those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God, and that by him we cry, Abba, Father. You've probably heard it before, but that word Abba, the closest thing that we would have for it is Daddy. It's like Mike on that night on his bed. You're my dad. You love me. Wow, you love me. That is only by the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it by ourselves. We can only say Daddy as he shows us. Gritting our teeth is not going to do it. Do you know, even just reading our Bibles alone is not going to do it. Not without the Holy Spirit to change the soundtrack. Because what will happen is we'll just stay just with knowledge. Okay, he's my Father. But it's the Holy Spirit that can help us with the long journey from here to here, and to transfer what we know and plant it in our hearts. A couple of years ago here at Soul Survivor, I was just about to give a seminar. And as I was just stood at the front and getting ready to go, I had a song stuck in my head. And it was a song from, like, I can't remember if it's the 80s or 90s, but it's still around today. A big ballad, I Want to Know What Love Is. I want to know what love is. You know, I feel like my hair needs to be quite a bit bigger, but I want you to show me. Come on, someone tell me that you know what I'm singing here. I'm not, I'm like, thank you, thanks. And this was going through my head. And to start with, I quite enjoyed it. It was quite nice having this little song stuck in my head, but it wouldn't go away. And I was getting ready to give this seminar and still this song's going around in my head. So after a while, it took me a while, but after a while I thought, God, is that you? Are you singing an 80s ballad in my head? And he said, yes, I am. And I was like, what's all that about? And I felt him say, there's someone here in this room, there's something you're about to do. And we've been singing about God's love in the meeting, but he just doesn't get it. He's never known love. His environment he grew up in, he's never known love. And he's even said to a friend earlier on, I just don't even know. We're singing all this stuff about love, but I don't think I even know what love is. And God said to me, I want to be the one to show him. I'm going to be the one to show him. And so I was just about to start this seminar. And so I just said, look, I have this sense. There's someone here. You've been saying to a friend, you know, despite all the songs that we're singing, I don't even know what love is. And God says he wants to be the one. He's going to show you. He's going to begin to reveal his love to you. And I said, if that's you, then we'd love to get someone to pray for you. And I didn't really think too much of it. But then, so that was 2 years ago. And then last year, someone came up to me and just slipped me a little note. And they just said, I don't know if you remember this word that you had a year ago, but that was me. And I got prayed for at the end of the seminar. I didn't know what love is. I got prayed for. God began to show me his love. And then they wrote, this last year has been completely different. That's what happens for all of us. It's not just a word just for that one person. That's what happens for all of us. We want to know what love is. He wants to be the one to show us. And he can, and he will do it by his Holy Spirit. And then just like that person wrote in their little testimony to me, it can be completely different. Life can be completely different when we get the truth. You know, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so when he said that, he wasn't talking about you will understand truth. It's because that in itself doesn't bring freedom. It's when you know the truth, that you are loved, the truth sets you free. There is a big difference between knowing it here and knowing it here. You know, if you asked Andy, do you like food? He says, yeah, I like food. He likes it. He knows it's fuel, it's good for the guns, the right sort of food. Andy, do you like food? Yes, I like food. You ask Mike, do you like food? You be prepared to be there a while. Mike doesn't just like food, Mike loves food. And he loves to talk about food. He loves to share his best experiences of food with you. You know, if you go to a restaurant with him, you can't just sit there while you eat your thing and he eats his. It's like, oh, you must have some of this. It's amazing. And his friends, he always wants to take his friends to his favorite restaurants. And when he cooks for people, he buys up half of Sainsbury's. And literally at the end of it, you're like nearly crying because you're like, seriously, I cannot eat another thing because Mike loves food. Andy knows that food is good. Mike knows that food is good. And it's the second one that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us when it comes to the love of the Father. We can know that he is good, or we could know that he is good. And he can show us in such a way that we come alive. And for some of us, it's going to be like revelation. Like it was for Mike when he was filled with the Spirit, it can be that instant revelation. It's a miracle. The Spirit comes and he shows us. For loads of us, it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a process that he takes us on. A journey where we understand and know it and live in it more and more and more. In John 16, in the Message, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, but when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and lead you into all the truth there is. I love that picture because it's such an intimate one. You know, I'm going to take you by the hand and we're going to go somewhere. You were here, but we're going to go somewhere. I'm going to take you more and more into truth. You might have heard this before, you might have got it before, but there's more. He wants to take you by the hand and lead you. So let's be asking the Holy Spirit, change the soundtrack. Show me how loved I am. Let's not keep living like the love of God is a story that we've heard before, that it's the punchline to someone else's story. But instead, we want to move from a place of saying, I know that you're good. I know that you love me. And instead, live in that place of, I know you are good. I know that you love me. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we call him Father.